104.6.
നമസ്കാരം. ന്യൂസിലൻഡിലെ നമ്മുടെ മലയാളം FM പ്രോഗ്രാം FM ഫ്രീക്വൻസി 104.6 ഇന്നത്തെ പരിപാടികൾ ആരംഭിക്കുന്നു. ഇന്നാദ്യം കണക്ട്, തുടർന്ന് ചലച്ചിത്ര ഗാനങ്ങൾ. ഈ പരിപാടിയുടെ പ്രായോജകർ കൃപ ഫൈനാൻഷ്യൽ സൊല്യൂഷൻസ്, വിശ്വാസ് ഫുഡ്സ്.
നിങ്ങൾക്ക് അനുയോജ്യമായ ഹോം ലോൺ, ഫസ്റ്റ് ഹോം, ഇൻവെസ്റ്റ്മെന്റ്, റീഫിനാൻസ്, റീഫിക്സ്, കൺസ്ട്രക്ഷൻ ലോൺ, കൊമേഴ്ഷ്യൽ ലോൺ, കാർ ലോൺ എന്നിവയ്ക്ക് നിങ്ങളുടെ വിശ്വസ്ത സാമ്പത്തിക ഉപദേഷ്ടാക്കൾ കൃപ ഫൈനാൻഷ്യൽ സൊല്യൂഷൻസ്. 0800-574-722. വിശ്വസിക്കാം വിദഗ്ധരെ.
വിശ്വാസ് ഫുഡ്സ്. നിങ്ങൾ ന്യൂസിലൻഡിൽ എവിടെയാണെങ്കിലും നിങ്ങളുടെ തൊട്ടടുത്ത ഗ്രോസറി കടയിൽ നമ്മുടെ കേരള തനിമയിൽ കോട്ടയത്ത് നിന്നുള്ള വിശ്വാസ് ഉൽപ്പന്നങ്ങൾ ലഭ്യമാണ്. വ്യത്യസ്തതകളേറെ, സ്വാദിലും മുൻപിൽ. വിശ്വാസ് ഫുഡ്സ്. മലയാളം FM കേരളത്തെയും കിവികളെയും കണക്ട് ചെയ്യുന്ന ഇംഗ്ലീഷ് ഇന്റർവ്യൂ കണക്ട്. ഇന്നത്തെ കണക്റ്റിൽ ഓഥർ റേച്ചൽ പാരിസ് തന്റെ ഡെബ്യൂ നോവൽ സി ഹൗ ദേ ഫോളിനെ പറ്റി മലയാളം FM പ്രേക്ഷകരോട് സംസാരിക്കുന്നു. നമസ്കാരം. മലയാളം FM's കണക്ട് വിത്ത് മീ സിന്ധു പുനൂസ് ആൻഡ് ജോയിനിങ് മീ ടുഡേ ഓഥർ റേച്ചൽ പാരിസ്. വെൽക്കം റേച്ചൽ ടു അവർ ഷോ.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Rachel, your debut book, See How They Fall, has got a striking line in the beginning. Perfect family, perfect weekend, perfect crime. I'm interested to know, if we say perfect, it always comes with a positive stroke. I can accept perfect family, perfect weekend. What was your thought when you gave that line ending with perfect crime?
Good question. So you're right. Normally we think perfection is, you know, something wonderful to strive for. And I think it is a good goal, but I think we're in a world that's obsessed with not necessarily achieving perfection, but the appearance of perfection. And I think with social media, you know, that has exacerbated this desire to look like everything's perfect. Maybe underneath it's not. So when I was writing the book, I was quite interested to look at a family that appears to have everything you could ever want, you know, a lot of money and glamour, success, philanthropy, but to really turn that upside down and see kind of what the dirty secrets are inside. So that was the idea.
Oh, nice. Are you getting that kind of feedback from the readers?
Yes, I think people go into it with this expectation of what they're going to read, and then they're surprised because there are quite a few twists and turns along the way.
Oh, nice. Rachel, you have gone from being cited in the Wall Street Journal for your legal research to a number one bestseller charts. Two different worlds.
Yeah.
What was the turning point when you decided, okay, I'm going to step out from this promising senior transactional lawyer career to a number one or a leading novelist? Was there any turning point for you?
There was, actually. So, I mean, as a child, I used to read a lot, write a lot of stories, I think like a lot of children do. But then at high school, I started getting more serious about my academics, I think, like everybody does. And in my generation, the expectation was, you know, law school, medical school, maybe engineering, accounting. So I ended up at law school. And I think, you know, for me and the family I come from, there was no space to be a writer. That just wasn't a job that I could ever imagine doing properly. And so I went off and I was, as you say, a lawyer, banking and finance, 20 years. But there were sort of two turning points. The first was in that very first COVID lockdown in New Zealand. You remember, it was a long sort of 6 weeks. and I was still working from home, but I had sort of more time because I wasn't driving the children to school and all of those things.
Non-traffic, no hassles.
Exactly. So there was more time, and I started writing bedtime stories for my children. So I would always read them normally, but I started playing around and making up stories, and the kids love them. I really liked writing them. So I did think, oh gosh, it would be quite fun if I ever had the time to do more writing. But then lockdown finished, we went back to normal life. And then a few months after that, my younger sister was diagnosed with a very aggressive breast cancer, which came totally out of the blue because she was very young. We have no family history. It was just one of those awful surprises. And she had a 2-year treatment program. And I'm extremely happy to say she came through it. She's cancer-free wonderful. And has been now for a couple of years. But I think when you go through that process with someone you love, and I know many of your listeners will have been in a similar position.
Definitely.
It really does kind of focus your mind on what you want from life and what's important and all of those things. And so the day she got the call from the doctor to say you're cancer-free, well, you know, we had some champagne and we had a celebration, and then I went home and I thought, you know what? Like, what do I want to do? I've been a lawyer a long time. That's not the only thing I want to do in my life. I really want to learn how to write, do creative writing. And so I Googled writing classes near me to see what would come up. And this course at the University of Auckland appeared on my screen. And so I looked into it. And that was the first step. So it was a real turning point.
Oh.
Hopefully other people don't have such a sort of negative thing, you know, having to happen before they get into action. But I just thought, I've got to take a step. This opportunity won't come to me. I've got to go out and find it. And yeah, I got into the course and started writing, and then the project I worked on during that year of university became sort of the draft of the book. So, yeah.
That's an amazing journey. Oh, I can see that emotion while listening to you and have you step out of your very promising career to this author. I think you're a little bit emotional.
Yeah, I mean, I always, talking about what my sister went through is, it's really hard. I feel bad in a way because it was her story to tell. You know, it was obviously my sister that bore the brunt of it. But I think it's so hard to watch someone you love fighting a disease like that. And yeah, it just sort of put everything in perspective, you know. And I mean, law was wonderful. It was very intellectually stimulating. You know, I was lucky to earn a really good income. But in the end, is that as important as doing what you love and, you know, just making the most of life? So it was kind of a gift in the end for the whole family. But I think we're lucky that she had a positive outcome with her treatment.
Feel for you, Rachel, and no wonder how emotional a author is, and that is very much reflecting in your debut book. And I can see it has been receiving global applause and even Hollywood attention. From that point, I would like to ask, if you could choose the leading characters like Sky and the May in the novel, who would you choose?
Oh, gosh. that is a good question. So I think for the character of Sky Turner, because she's supposed to be very beautiful, she's an Australian blonde bombshell, Margot Robbie, of course, would be perfect. Yeah. I think Margot's probably a little bit busy, but I think she would be great.
Oh, wonderful.
For May O'Connor, so she is of Irish-Chinese heritage. The person that springs to mind is Jess Hong, who's a New Zealand Chinese actor who's fantastic. Oh. But I'm sure there are lots of people that would be wonderful.
Oh, that's a perfect choice listening to you.
Yes, fingers crossed.
I'm guessing you might have gone through the book The Covenant of Water, a celebrated work by the author, Dr. Abraham Verghese. Mr. Verghese belongs to our community, and we really feel proud about we being Keralite. And in his book, the plot is about his own state in India, Kerala. What was your thought when you were going through that book?
what is the kind of feeling you got about that particular place?
I mean, he's such a wonderful writer, and as a debut novelist, you only can dream of one day having his talent, which I'm sure I never will, but I think what Dr. Verghese. And the way he makes setting a character, you know, he really doesn't have it as a backdrop. It is so important to the way the lives of his characters unfold, and obviously they're connected by the landscape, by the water. It brings them together, but it separates them as well. So it's a beautiful metaphor, and I think in the book there is a quote about the waterways being sort of like a vast circulatory system. And I know he's a medical doctor, and so there's that beautiful parallel between sort of human systems, the landscape, how it's also interconnected. So, yeah, I think he does such a wonderful job on that front.
Yeah, couldn't agree more. I can see some sort of similarity, I may be wrong, in your novel too. The settings in your novel, for example, the resort, Elabi's resort, it really gives the reader a feeling of tension, the mood swings and the secrets that could unfold from that novel. Was it intentional, or how do you comment about setting up those kind of places as characters?
That's such a wonderful question. I think, so my book, as you said, it's set in Sydney, because it involves this very wealthy family. They have this luxurious, very sort of isolated estate on the northern beaches. And you're right, you can't really separate the story from where it's occurring. And in fact, I'm going to quote back to you your interview with Dr. Verghese, where he talks about, I think he quotes Napoleon and says, geography is destiny. And I think that's just such a beautiful way to encapsulate it, because the privilege, the ability to be away from prying eyes, to sort of present an image to the world, could only happen because the family has the wealth that they have. They don't have, you know, most people don't have the luxury of that kind of lifestyle and that privacy and that wealth. And so it was very intentional. And I think Sydney as a city, you know, all of us here in New Zealand in particular, where it's wet, you know, we look at Sydney as this beautiful, sunny, glamorous place. And of course, it's interesting then to turn that upside down and say, but what else is really going on? You know, it's not all this appearance of perfection. It's, you know, there are some sinister undertones that are interesting to explore too.
Absolutely. While we were talking about the setting and the characters of the novel, I'm curious to know, you have got a wonderful family, 3 kids, 2 dogs. Have any time they influenced your characters? For example, observing your children's perspective, dogs, obviously they will be loyal and so much of companionship. Have you inculcated anything of these traits into any characters in your novel?
Such a, again, a wonderful question, because absolutely, I think as a writer, you write from your life experience. Even if you're inventing things in characters, you're drawing on what you have experienced. And I think for me, actually, the real starting point for my story was a mother wanting to protect her child from danger. And I mean, you're a mum, you understand that from the moment your child is born, you worry, don't you? It's just a life sentence. And so I was trying to think of a story that would be interesting to me and it would sort of be emotional for me. And so the relationship between Skye Turner and her 6-year-old daughter Tilly, which is at the heart of the novel, really was me drawing on my experience as a mum. And then, of course, yes, the rest of the family, the dogs, all of that, it's sort of that chaotic, you know, day-to-day life that we all experience, the pressures that brings to bear. It all comes into it, for sure.
Great. Rachel, you have won the wonderful Phoenix Prize for your creative writing. Do you agree that winning that Phoenix Prize has prepared you to be in the whirlwind of public recognition as a novelist?
Certainly, before I got that prize, I, you know, it's very scary, writing and putting your work out there, and it's a very mental game. You don't know if you're any good. You have a day where you think what you've written is great, the next day you read it, you think it's terrible. So there's a, it's a constant up and down, and so to have that recognition was really helpful because it gave me confidence to keep going. And yeah, I think of course we shouldn't rely on external validation, but it definitely helped me at that point where, you know, I was wondering, should have I made the right decision? Should I go back to being a lawyer? It was a really great boost to keep going forward.
I can see you have won a lot of recognitions, and one other major milestone, I would say, Sir Peter Blake Award for Leadership. Do you think the voice in the legal side goes parallel to the voice in characters?
Gosh, another wonderful question. So this Sir Peter Blake Leadership Award I received when I was at my law firm for trying to bring through more women, because when I became a partner at my law firm, there were 8% of the partners that were women and 92% men. And I was the only one with a child at that time. And so it just was very, very difficult for women, especially with young families, to kind of come through because there's a lot of stress and long hours and so on. So I thought it was important for me to try and make life easier for the other women who are very, very good lawyers, but to sort of change the things we could change in the workplace to make it easier. And so with writing fiction, I guess you're right, there is this opportunity to use your voice or your characters or your story to kind of shine a mirror on what are some issues in society. I don't think anyone wants to read a book on their weekend or, you know, the night after a busy day of work and be sort of bashed over the head with, you know, lots of moralizing and lots of preaching from an author. But I think if you do it in a gentle enough way, it kind of helps people think. And, you know, they might not necessarily agree with some of the ideas in the book, but at least people can think about what is fair, or, you know, what are the inequities, which the book is quite interested, I guess, in that gap between the people that have a lot and maybe the people that don't have the same opportunities. And as a society, are we comfortable with that? So
giving a balanced approach to both women and the characters.
That's right. I mean, unfortunately, the men in my book don't come off very well. I feel very bad because obviously I've got lots of wonderful men in my own life, my husband, my dad, my brother, my two sons. But of course, you know, over history, we see it even still today, there is still some imbalance between the treatment of men and women. And so I think sometimes it's important to pay attention to that and see what we can do to improve upon it.
Absolutely. Rachel, you have come from courtroom to the writer's room. The listeners may be thinking, oh, it is easy. Lawyer can easily convert to a novelist because of the skills on structured writing, persuasive writing. Other than that, is there any surprising skill you brought from the courtroom to be an author?
There are a few. I mean, certainly the discipline, the tenacity, knowing you've got a deadline or that you've got a problem to solve and sticking at it. But I think the other thing is this ability to look at the other side's argument. So as a lawyer, you know, no matter what kind of lawyer you are, you're thinking, this is my argument, but what is the other side going to say? And then you try and imagine that you are the other side. How are they going to present an argument so you can rebut it? When you're writing different characters, it's sort of the same process because you have to imagine, put yourself in their shoes, see the world through their eyes to help you get the chemistry between your different characters working and to try and make sure you're being authentic. So I think it does help you kind of inhabit different minds or arguments for sure.
Yeah, that's a great insight. As an author, you need to understand if this character is behaving like this, how the complementing character is going to respond, and what should be the next move. It's kind of a chess, I believe.
It is a lot like a chess game. That's it, right. It's sort of the logic of it and trying to make it all work together. Yeah. Absolutely.
Now, listening to you, I feel, Rachel, you're really enjoying that shift from your legal career to the author's life. If I can ask you, if you've been asked to swap your life for a day, who would you choose? A novelist or a lawyer or a Hollywood actor?
Oh my goodness. Hollywood would be fun, but I don't think I'd be a very good actor, so I'm not sure that's me. Lawyer, I feel that I've done that, so I would say novelist. I think it would be pretty exciting to go into Dr. Verghese's mind for a while, and I mean, he's a pretty incredible guy. I think it would be wonderful to be inside another author's head, see how they think, how they approach things, and just to have that inspiration would be pretty amazing. How about you? I'm going to ask you the same question. What would you do?
I would like to be a radio host or a TV host.
Yeah, well, you are. So there you go. Fantastic.
Because by profession, I am an analyst, business analyst.
Oh, right, right.
And I analyze things the same way when I'm listening to people. I'm analyzing why they are opinionated like that.
Yes, the incentives. It's the same with an author, because you're always thinking, what drives a person's behavior? Why do they do what they do?
Yeah,
that's because so interesting.
In the corporate world, people say, oh, it's all about PowerPoints and numbers. But I always say, with numbers, I'm creating stories.
Right. That's such
exactly
a good way
like
to look at that. Absolutely. Yeah, I so agree with that. Yeah.
So, Rachel, what's next in you? Is there anything in your bucket list?
Definitely more travel. So with my husband and our three children, we do love to travel. We've been to some pretty amazing places. Kenya is one of those places. We went on safari a couple of years ago.
Again, Dr. Verghese born in Kenya.
Yes, oh my gosh, isn't it amazing? And Kenya is such an incredible country, but we would love to go to India altogether. I've so far only been to Mumbai, and that was for work. I would love to take the children and really, really have a great look around. That is definitely something we're hoping to do. So I might need to come and get some notes.
Tips.
Tips, exactly.
Yeah, yeah. Definitely, anytime. Have you heard about Kerala, the southern tip of India?
I have. So I know the food is good and there are beautiful beaches, is that right?
Yeah.
Yes, and of course from the book I kind of have an idea, but it was historical. So yes, I don't know as much about the modern Kerala, but it's somewhere I would love to check out for sure.
Interesting. You touched about your interest in traveling. I would like to know how traveling and being in different places helps you as an author.
I think, you know, you can obviously learn a lot from books and what have you, but there is no substitute for really going to a place and meeting the people. I just think it's such an incredible education, which is one of the reasons we take our children when we can afford to, because, you know, we could talk to them, for example, about life in Kenya. It's not till they go. We went and visited a school of children their age. And, you know, for them to just see children on the other side of the world, what they learn, what they eat, what they wear, what they talk about, what games they play. I mean, it's so wonderful because you see all the commonality, the things that we all, you know, how we're so similar. But you also learn to appreciate the differences. So, yeah, I just think it's such a good way. And as a writer, you sort of just understand what connects us and therefore what is good to write about, but also the importance of place and, you know, respecting and appreciating our own homelands and, you know, what makes them really special.
Absolutely. I think your kids and even my son, we are all lucky or fortunate that we happen to interact with different ethnicities in being in Auckland in New Zealand, which allows us to respect different traditions, different culture. Mm. Otherwise, we will be siloed in one place and we will always think our culture is the best.
Exactly. It's so important. It's so enriching and so interesting, isn't it, to learn about different ways of doing things, different ways of thinking and different beliefs and how that can all happen. You know, everyone can live together quite happily and still have their own approach, which is kind of what a modern democracy should be all about, I think.
Absolutely. Rachel, I am pretty sure See How They Fall have received global attention, global uploads, including it has caught Hollywood attention. Is that something you can share about what is happening in the Hollywood space?
Sure. So the screen rights were optioned for the book. So what that means is there's a Hollywood production company that is hoping to make a returning TV series, so kind of like a Netflix show based on the book. So they have got a writer involved to do the screenplay, and they're talking to actors, and so it's a kind of usually a long process. It takes a while, but that's underway. So it's very exciting. Oh. I, you know, fingers crossed it all works out. Oh.
Great. Good luck for that. It should happen with a TV series or maybe a Hollywood movie.
Yeah, that would be fun. I mean, wonderful. Yeah, I should have asked for Brad Pitt to be in it as well.
That's a great promise.
Yeah, exactly. Hopefully he tunes into your show.
So can you share a little bit about your family and how they support you stepping out from your legal career to a novelist?
Absolutely. So my husband and I have three children. My husband is the CEO of One New Zealand, which is a big telecommunications company, as you know. And so he has a very, very busy job.
Schedule.
Traditional sort of corporate job. Our three children are 18, 14 and 12. And so they're very busy with sports and homework and all of the things that kids at age have. So it's a very, very busy life. But Jason's been incredibly supportive of me. I think when I was a partner in a law firm and he was doing a big corporate job, you know, it was a very stressful, very, very busy household. And with my job now, it's a lot more flexible. So I can be the person, you know, sort of at home catching the things that I don't fall through while he is travelling. But equally, he really supports me to kind of work when I have the opportunity. So it's a real team effort. I think that's the case in most marriages, isn't it? We really support each other. The children actually are really happy to see me enjoying what I'm doing, and so they try and make my life easier. I mean, I'm not as tidy as I would like them to be, but they do their best. So it is, I think the family is all really doing what they can to help me succeed, which is really wonderful.
Oh, glad to hear that. How supportive is Jason?
Oh, he's wonderful. Yeah, he really is. He's a very hands-on father. Very, very, you know, helpful at home. He does his fair share of the chores. I don't let him off. So, yeah, I couldn't do it without that family support for sure.
So glad to hear, Rachel. Is there anything I missed to ask and you would like to share to our listeners?
I don't think so, other than just, you know, thank you so much for having me on and asking about the story. And I love what you do here. It's such a great show.
Thank you. So wish you all best wishes and thanks for having with us today. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you for having me. I loved it. Wonderful to chat.
Thank you. പ്രിയ ശ്രോതാക്കൾ, മലയാളം എഫ് എം 104.6 ഇതുവരെ കേട്ടത് ഓതർ റേച്ചൽ പാരീസുമായി മലയാളം എഫ് എമ്മിന്റെ സിന്ധു പുന്നൂസ് നടത്തിയ പ്രത്യേക അഭിമുഖം. ഇപ്പോൾ കേൾക്കാം ചലച്ചിത്ര ഗാനങ്ങൾ. ഈ പരിപാടിയുടെ പ്രായോജകർ കൃപ ഫൈനാൻഷ്യൽ സൊല്യൂഷൻസ്, വിശ്വാസ് ഫുഡ്സ്.
നിങ്ങൾക്ക് അനുയോജ്യമായ ഹോം ലോൺ, ഫസ്റ്റ് ഹോം, ഇൻവെസ്റ്റ്മെന്റ്, റീഫിനാൻസ്, റീഫിക്സ്, കൺസ്ട്രക്ഷൻ ലോൺ, കൊമേഴ്ഷ്യൽ ലോൺ, കാർ ലോൺ എന്നിവയ്ക്ക് നിങ്ങളുടെ വിശ്വസ്ത സാമ്പത്തിക ഉപദേഷ്ടാക്കൾ കൃപ ഫൈനാൻഷ്യൽ സൊല്യൂഷൻസ്. OH00-5747-22. വിശ്വസിക്കാം വിദഗ്ധരെ.
വിശ്വാസ് ഫുഡ്സ്. നിങ്ങൾ ന്യൂസിലൻഡിൽ എവിടെയാണെങ്കിലും നിങ്ങളുടെ തൊട്ടടുത്ത ഗ്രോസറി കടയിൽ നമ്മുടെ കേരള തനിമയിൽ കോട്ടയത്ത് നിന്നുള്ള വിശ്വാസ് ഉൽപ്പന്നങ്ങൾ ലഭ്യമാണ്. വ്യത്യസ്തതകളേറെ സ്വാദിലും മുൻപിൽ വിശ്വാസ് ഫുഡ്സ്.
ഒരു ചെമ്പനീർ പൂവിർത്തു, പാടിയത് ഉണ്ണിമേനോൻ, ചിത്രം സ്ഥിതി.
ഞാനോ മലേ ഒരു വേള നിന്നെ സ്നേഹമാം മാധുര്യം ഒരു വാക്കിനാൽ തൊട്ടു ഞാൻ നൽകിയില്ല നിറനീല രാവിലെ കാന്തതയിൽ നിൻമിഴിയിലെ നനവൊപ്പി മായ്ച്ചതില്ല എങ്കിലും നീ അറിഞ്ഞു എന്നിനവെന്നും നിന്നിനവറിയുന്നതായി നിന്നെ തഴുകുന്നതായി ഒരു ചെമ്പനീ ശ്രീരാഗം ഒരു മാത്ര നീയൊത്തു ഞാൻ മൂളിയില്ല പുലർമഞ്ഞു പെയ്യുന്ന യാമത്തിലും നിൻ മൃദുമേനിയൊന്നു പുണർന്നതില്ല എങ്കിലും നീ അറിഞ്ഞു എൻ മനമെന്നും നിൻ നിന്നെ തലോടുന്നതായി ഒരു ചെമ്പനീർ പൂവിറുത്തു ഞാനോ മലേ ഒരു വേള നിന്നേർക്കു നീട്ടിയില്ല എങ്കിലും എങ്ങനെ നീയറിഞ്ഞു എന്റെ ചെമ്പനീർ പൂക്കുന്നതായി നിനക്കായി സുഗന്ധം പരത്തുന്നതായി നിനക്കായി പറയൂ നീ പറയൂ ഒരു ചെമ്പനീർ പൂവിറുത്തു ഞാനോ മലേ ഒരു വേള നിന്നേർക്കു നീട്ടിയില്ല
അരികിൽ നീ ഉണ്ടായിരുന്നെങ്കിൽ. ചിത്രം നീയത്ര ധന്യ, ഗായകൻ യേശുദാസ്.
അരികിൽ നീയുണ്ടായിരുന്നെങ്കിൽ അരികിൽ നീയുണ്ടായിരുന്നെങ്കിലെന്നു ഞാൻ ഒരു മാത്ര വെറുതേ നിനച്ചുപോയി ഒരു മാത്ര വെറുതേ നിനച്ചുപോയി അരികിൽ ായിരുന്നെങ്കിലെന്നു ഞാൻ ഒരു മാത്ര വെറുതേ നിനച്ചുപോയി ഒരു മാത്ര വെറുതേ നിനച്ചുപോയി മഴ പെയ്തു തോന്ന നേരം രാത്രി മഴ പെയ്തു കാട്ടിലിളച്ചാത്തുലഞ്ഞ നിറം ചിത്തിട്ടു വീഴും നീർത്തുള്ളിതൻ സംഗീതം തൃത്തന്തികളിൽ പടർന്ന നിറം കാതറയായൊരു പക്ഷിയൻ ജാലക വാതിലും ചാരേ ചിലച്ച നേരം വാതിലും ചാരേ ചിലച്ച നേരം ഒരു മാത്ര വെറുതെ നിനച്ചു പോയി അരികെ നീയുണ്ടായിരുന്നെങ്കിലെന്നു ഞാൻ ഒരു മാത്ര വേറുവേ നിനച്ചു പോയി ഒരു മാത്ര വേറുവേ നിനച്ചു പോയി ത്തു ഞാൻ നട്ട ചമ്പകത്തൈയിലെ ആദ്യത്തെ മൊട്ട് വിരിഞ്ഞ നാളിൽ സ്നിഗ്ധമാമാരുടെയോ മുടിച്ചാർത്തിലൻ മുഗ്ധ സങ്കൽപ്പം തലോടി നിൽക്കേ ഏതോ പുരാതന പ്രേമ കഥയിലെ ഗീതികളെന്നിൽ ഗീതികളെന്നിൽ ചിറകടിക്കേ ഒരു മാത്ര വെറുതെ നിനച്ചു പോയി അരികിൽ നീയുണ്ടായിരുന്നെങ്കിലെന്നു ഞാൻ ഒരു മാത്ര വെറുതേ നിനച്ചു പോയി ഒരു മാത്ര വെറുതേ നിനച്ചു പോയി അരികിൽ നീയുണ്ടായിരുന്നെങ്കിലെന്നു ഞാൻ ഒരു മാത്ര വെറുതേ നിനച്ചു പോയി ഒരു മാത്ര വെറുതേ
സാമജസഞ്ചാരിണി പരിണയം എന്ന ചിത്രത്തിൽ നിന്ന് യേശുദാസ്.
സഞ്ചാരിണി സരസീരുഹമധുവാദിനി സാമജസഞ്ചാരിണി സരസീരുഹമധുവാദിനി ശൃണു മമ ഹൃദയം സ്മര ശരനിലയം ശൃണു മമ ഹൃദയം സ്മരശരനിലയം സാമജസഞ്ചാരിണി സരസീരുഹമധുവാദിനി ശളകേശം ഘനസങ്കാശം അധരം മധുരം മകരന്ദഭരം കോമളകേശം ഘനസങ്കാശം മൗനാചരണം സുമുഖി അണയൂ സഖി നീ കുവലയ നയനേ സാമജ സഞ്ചാരിണീ സരസീരുഹ മധുവാദിനി ഹൃദയാന്തഹരം മാദകഹാസം മാധവമാസം വദനം രുചിരം ഹൃദയാന്തഹരം മാദകഹാസം മാധവമാസം പ്രീണാവരണം മാറ്റുകരയീതേ വിജനം സദനം കിസലയ മൃദുലേ സാമജ സഞ്ചാരിണീ സരസീരുഹ മധുവാദിനീ ശൃണു മമ ഹൃദയം സ്മര ശരനിലയം ശൃണു മമ ഹൃദയം സ്മര ശരനിലയം സാമജ സഞ്ചാരിണീ സരസീരുഹ മധുവാദിനി
ചന്ദനമണിവാതിൽ പാതിചാരി ജി വേണുഗോപാലിന്റെ ശബ്ദത്തിൽ മരിക്കുന്നില്ല ഞാൻ എന്ന ചിത്രത്തിൽ നിന്നും.
ോളം കണ്ണിൽ തിരയിലക്കി ശൃംഗാര ചന്ദ്രിക നീരാടി നീനേക്ക് എന്തായിരുന്നു മനസ്സിൽ ചന്ദന മണിവാതിൽ പാതിചാരി ോളം കണ്ണിൽ തിരയിലക്കി ശൃംഗാര ചന്ദ്രിക നീരാടി നീനേക്ക് എന്തായിരുന്നു മനസ്സിൽ എല്ലാം നമുക്കൊരു പോലെയല്ലേ എന്നോടെന്തിനോ നിൽക്കുന്നു നീ സഖി എല്ലാം നമുക്കൊരു പുലയല്ലേ. അന്ത്യയാമത്തിലെ മണ്ണിട്ടു പൂക്കുമി സ്വർണ്ണ മന്ദാരങ്ങൾ സാക്ഷിയല്ലേ. ചന്ദന മണിവാതിൽ പാതി ചാരി പിന്തോളം കണ്ണിൽ തിരയിളക്കി ശൃംഗാര ചന്ദ്രികേ നീരാടി നിൽക്കേ. എന്തായിരുന്നു മനസ്സിൽ സുഗന്ധിയല്ലേ. നാണം പൂത്തു വിരിഞ്ഞ ലാവണ്യമേ യാമിനി കാമസുഗന്ധിയല്ലേ. മായാവിരലുകൾ തൊട്ടാൽ മലരുന്ന മാതൃക മൗനങ്ങൾ നമ്മളല്ലേ. മണിവാതിൽ പാതി ചാരി ചിന്തോളം കണ്ണിൽ തിരയിളക്കി ശൃംഗാര ചന്ദ്രികേ നീരാടി നീ നിൽക്കേ. എന്തായിരുന്നു മനസ്സിൽ ചന്ദന മണിവാതിൽ പാതി ചാരി ോളം കണ്ണിൽ തിരയിളക്കി ശൃംഗാര ചന്ദ്രികേ നീരാടി നീ നിൽക്കെ. എന്തായിരുന്നു മനസ്സിൽ
ഏതോ വാർമുകിലിൻ മുത്തായി നീ വന്നു. ജി വേണുഗോപാലിന്റെ ശബ്ദത്തിൽ പൂക്കാലം വരവായി എന്ന ചിത്രത്തിൽ നിന്നും.
കിനാവിലെ മുത്തായി നീ വന്നു. ഏതുവാർമുകിലിൻ കിനാവിലെ മുത്തായി നീ വന്നു. പൂമലേ ജീവനിൽ അമൃതികാനായി വീണ്ടും എന്നിലെ തൂർമകളായി നിലാവിൻ മുത്തേ നീ വന്നു. നീയുലാവുമ്പോൾ സ്വർഗം മണ്ണിലുണരുമ്പോൾ സ്വർഗം മണ്ണിലുണരുമ്പോൾ പുണ്യം പോലെ തോമാർമുകിലിൻ കിനാവിലെ മുത്തായി നീ വന്നു. പൊന്മുളം കുഴലിൽ ആർദ്രമാമൊരു ശ്രീരാഗം കേൾപ്പു പാദമണിഞ്ഞിടും മോഹങ്ങൾ പോലെ അലിയും എൻ ജീവമന്ത്രം പോലെ തോമാർമുകിലിൻ കിനാവിലെ മുത്തായി നീ വന്നു. ഏതോ ആർമുകിലിൻ കിനാവിലെ മുത്തായി നീ വന്നു. പൂമലേ ജീവനിൽ അമൃതേ കാണായിണ്ടും എന്നിലെ തോർമകളായി നിലാവിൻ മുത്തേ നീ വന്നു.
ചെമ്പകം പൂത്തുലഞ്ഞ നീലരാവിൽ, ഇന്നലെ ഇന്ന് എന്ന ചിത്രത്തിൽ നിന്നും യേശുദാസ് പാടിയ ഗാനം.
ചന്ദനം പൂശി വന്ന വെണ്ണിലാവേ നിന്നെ പോലെ മനം കവരും സുന്ദരിയെ കണ്ടോ എന്റെ കൺമണിയെ കണ്ടോ ചെമ്പകം പൂത്തുലഞ്ഞ നീലരാവേ.
ചെമ്പകം പൂത്തുലഞ്ഞ നീല നിങ്ങൾ ഇതുവരെ കേട്ടത് തിരഞ്ഞെടുത്ത ചലച്ചിത്ര ഗാനങ്ങൾ.
ഈ പരിപാടിയുടെ പ്രായോജകർ കൃപ ഫൈനാൻഷ്യൽ സൊല്യൂഷൻസ്, വിശ്വാസ് ഫുഡ്സ്.
നിങ്ങൾക്ക് അനുയോജ്യമായ ഹോം ലോൺ, ഫസ്റ്റ് ഹോം, ഇൻവെസ്റ്റ്മെന്റ്, റീഫിനാൻസ്, റീഫിക്സ്, കൺസ്ട്രക്ഷൻ ലോൺ, കൊമേഴ്ഷ്യൽ ലോൺ, കാർ ലോൺ എന്നിവയ്ക്ക് നിങ്ങളുടെ വിശ്വസ്ത സാമ്പത്തിക ഉപദേഷ്ടാക്കൾ കൃപ ഫൈനാൻഷ്യൽ സൊല്യൂഷൻസ്. 0800-574-722. വിശ്വസിക്കാം, വിദഗ്ധരെ.
വിശ്വാസ് ഫുഡ്സ്. നിങ്ങൾ ന്യൂസിലൻഡിൽ എവിടെയാണെങ്കിലും നിങ്ങളുടെ തൊട്ടടുത്ത ഗ്രോസറി കടയിൽ നമ്മുടെ കേരള തനിമയിൽ കോട്ടയത്ത് നിന്നുള്ള വിശ്വാസ് ഉൽപ്പന്നങ്ങൾ ലഭ്യമാണ്. വ്യത്യസ്തതകളേറെ, സ്വാദിലും മുൻപിൽ. വിശ്വാസ് ഫുഡ്സ്. ഇതോടെ മലയാളം എഫ് എം 104.6 എന്ന ഇന്നത്തെ പരിപാടികൾ അവസാനിക്കുന്നു. അടുത്ത പ്രക്ഷേപണം അടുത്ത വെള്ളിയാഴ്ച വൈകുന്നേരം 7:25. അതുവരേക്കും എല്ലാ പ്രേക്ഷകർക്കും നമസ്കാരം പറയുന്നത് സിന്ധു പുന്നോസ്. മലയാളം എഫ് എം 104.6. പാട്ടുപാടാം, കൂട്ടുകൂടാം, കാറിലും കേൾക്കാം.
കേരം തിങ്ങും പാവന ശ്രീലകം, കേരളം മോഹനം, കേരളം മോഹനം, സസ്യശ്യാമള കോമളം, ഞാറ്റുവേല പാട്ടുയരും പുണ്യാലയം, കേരളം മോഹനം, ശ്യാമള കോമളം, ഞാറ്റുവേല പാട്ടുയരും പുണ്യാലയം, കേരം തിങ്ങും പാവന ശ്രീലകം, കേരളം മോഹനം, കേരം തിങ്ങും പാവന ശ്രീലകം.
Is a member of KAMA, the Community Access Media Alliance. CAMA.NZ. The website has heaps of resources and information, and it looks great. Thanks to our friends at Meta Digital.
We can become one of those rapidly